Welcome to the Disrupt Education Podcast. I'm your host, Peter Hostrasser. Hey, thanks so much for hanging out with us today. Do me a favor, head over to disrupteducation.co. Check that out. You'll find this podcast and so much more around disrupting education. The other thing I want you to do is head over to edupexperience.com. I'm a proud partner of the Ed Up Experience Podcast Network, the leaders in educational podcasts talking about what's next and all the different things at all the different levels in education. That's the Ed Up Experience, edupexperience.com. On this episode, I've got Debbie Tannenbaum, and she's an elementary school technology specialist in Fairfax County in Virginia. I got to tell you, this chat is a great conversation. She shares her journey, but also the coolest part about this is all different kinds of lessons that we have learned or are learning from the pandemic in education. You don't want to miss this. Debbie and I will start our conversation right after this. Are you an individual or business wanting to create an online course or training program, but are overwhelmed with the e-learning process and don't even know where to start? If so, you don't want to miss this free masterclass called Create and Launch a Successful E-Learning Program, Online Course, or Virtual Training, where you will learn the biggest mistake most people make with e-learning, the number one reason most e-learning programs fail, and the three pillars to create extraordinary value for your learners every time, and much more. Get instant access to the free masterclass right now by clicking on the link in the description. All you have to do is sign in and you will get instant access to this free masterclass right now. I recently asked Jake, who is a sophomore in high school, why he uses SpikeView to share his learning journey.
I think it's really cool that, you know, SpikeView is really putting that abstract into concrete data and knowledge and then displaying that to the outside world. And I think SpikeView is different than anything else out there. Like I said before, because it's really taking that, you know, those abstract skill sets and those abstract experiences and putting them into data that, you know, is actually mathematic and scientific and, you know, that matches you up with the best programs and, you know, best places for you. People, you know, who are really trying to make those changes in the world, and they're going to be using SpikeView because SpikeView is that app where you can, you know, take those experiences and take those passions and put them out there and share with other people. And that's, you know, that's really powerful. And that, you know, that professional networking piece, you know, to be with other like-minded teenagers, that puts you ahead. That puts you ahead in a lot of ways. And so, you know, I think anyone who uses SpikeView right now has a leg up in the future, and excited to see, you know, where those SpikeView alumni head up.
Head to SpikeView.com. Start your portfolio now for free. The Disrupt Education vlog can be found on YouTube. To hear it in podcast form, search Disrupt Education on any of the following podcast platforms: Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Breaker, CastBox, Overcast, Radio Public, Pocket Cast, Spotify, or Stitcher. Welcome to this episode of Disrupt Education. I'm Peter Hostrasser. Thank you all so much for hanging out with us today. I've got an innovative technology expert, educator, author. There's so many different ways I can announce who Debbie is. Debbie Tannenbaum is here with us today. Thank you so much for hanging out with us today, Debbie.
Thank you so much for having me. I've been really excited about this all day long.
Oh, awesome. Well, let's get to disrupting education. Let's tell a little bit about who you are and what you're about these days.
Sure. So I am completing my third year as an elementary school tech coach, my 21st year in education. And it's definitely been quite a year to be a tech coach. I joke that I think I've had four or five different jobs this year, from virtual learning, you know, help coach to hybrid learning coach to testing helper, and now we're collecting things. So it's been quite a ride, but I'm really proud of all the amazing work that my teachers have done this year. They've really risen to the challenge. So it's kind of exciting. Like, you have this opportunity where, like, innovation is kind of really thrust upon you, and seeing how your teachers do, like, a lot of the fear had to kind of go away this year, which was kind of cool. And so that's that's what I do during my days. But obviously at night I do more. And so I am a blogger. I've been blogging for almost 2.5 years on my website, Tannenbaum Tech, and I love doing it. In fact, in 2021, I've been blogging every 3 days. Hopefully when this comes out, I'll have kept up that streak. And then in addition, I've been taking advantage of virtual presentations and presenting. I have 4 kids. It's kind of cost prohibitive to go places, though I do have a in-person gig in October that I'm hoping I'll get to. And then the most exciting thing that's going on with me right now is that I published a book on May 20th, and it's called Transform Techie Notes to Make Learning Sticky. And I am so proud of it. It turned out so, so, so amazing. And every time I look at it, it just makes me smile because it's just accumulation of so much work. And to see it out where people can then get something out of it, it's wonderful. And I've gotten really good comments so far. So I'm hoping that it's really going to help people navigate whatever this year looks like.
No,
that comes up.
Yeah, totally. And congratulations on that. I know
Thank
my
you.
Listeners know, like, I've tried to start a book like 4 times and it's going. So it's a tremendous feat. We'll get to that and how people can get to it. It is Transform Techie Notes to Make Learning Sticky. I love that name. Yep. And we'll dive into that. Amazing. I can't wait to even talk about the way that this year went. But let's kind of go back into a little bit of your educational path as a student and then even as a teacher early on, and how, you know, 21 years, we're very close in how many years we have. I've just finished my 20 years unpack your path there a little bit.
So growing up, I was definitely one of those kids who was like the goody two shoes. I did everything I was supposed to do. I never got in trouble. I got good grades in school. I had a couple of teachers who really motivated me to do even better. But I'd always known I wanted to be a teacher. Like, I was that kid with the Raggedy Ann chalkboard with my sister and my stuffed animals playing school. And it's just something I've always wanted to do. And, you know, then when I went to college, I originally wanted to be an elementary school French teacher. Turned out that isn't where I ended up. And, you know, I talk a little bit about that in the book as well. But, you know, it turns out my first year teaching, I found technology. And when I found technology, it was really basic stuff. At that point, Scholastic had like these monthly themes where kids could post pretty much like a discussion board. But my students loved it. And it was so exciting. And so I decided to go get my master's in technology. And I joke that I switched one language for another, because to me, technology is a language in and of itself. And, you know, from the time I got my master's, which was over 19 years ago now, my son was a baby when I got it. I've just always been super interested in technology and lots of different changes from, you know, smart boards and clickers and going one-to-one, and it's just been a crazy ride. But throughout all of that time, I've just really enjoyed it. I love learning all those new things, but really things changed for me in 2017. In 2017, I joined the county I'm in right now, and my principal introduced me to Twitter. And when she introduced me to Twitter, I thought she was crazy. And I told her this, so there's no big deal about me saying it anywhere else. And I said, Twitter's only for celebrities. She's like, no, you're going to get something out of it. And she was 100% right. I have learned so much from being on social media and Twitter specifically. I'm on others as well now, but Twitter's really where my home is. And, you know, I started blogging in 2019, but that was because of my connections on Twitter. I was part of a Twitter book club. And in that Twitter book club, everybody had a website. And I went to the person who was in charge, Sam Fesich, who wrote Edge of Magic. And I was like, I'm thinking of starting something. What do you think? And she looked at it like she was the only person in the whole wide world who had the link. And she goes, this is awesome. People need to hear your story. It's a story of ups and downs, highs and lows, but triumph, and people need to hear it. And I was scared to push that publish button. But honestly, I think it's besides joining Twitter, probably the second best thing I've ever done, because I have learned and grown so much through that reflection process. And in 2020, I was going strong. I was Mrs. Tannen B at the time, and I got hacked. And I had to start all over. It's turned out to be a blessing in disguise because Tannenbaum Tech is a much better Twitter handle than Mrs. Tannen B ever was. And I also joke that, like, I at that point was able to say, when you first start, sometimes you're not sure who you should be connected to. Well, by that point, I knew who I wanted to stay connected to. And I was also meeting other education thought leaders through my connections with things like Teach Better and other things that I was like, okay, I'm going to build this, can build these connections in a much broader sense versus before where I was just pretty much following ed tech people. And, you know, through that whole process, I've begun to challenge myself more and try new things. And in 2020, as 2020 started, I was kind of challenged to write a book during a Twitter chat and kind of went for it. And, you know, the book's now out here. And the funny part of this is that I only met my publisher on Twitter. I've never met my publisher face to face on December 24th, 2020. And so it hasn't even been, it's not even a full 6 months or whatever. It's just been crazy. But I have met so many amazing people. And I joke that, you know, with all the craziness at work, all of the things that were going on here kind of kept those creative juices flowing and helped me to, like, you know, there were a lot of tech problems at school. And when you're in the tech world, you navigate between being tech support and being tech integration. And those of us who are tech coaches were like, we want to integrate. And they're like, but we need support. And it's constantly a tugging of, you know, but I've just had such a great time through this process, through writing the book. And, you know, sharing with people, it's just been amazing. So it's funny how you start one place and you end up in another place. But if someone had told me 2 years ago that this was going to be what I was doing, I would have said they were crazy.
And that's I love that. And thank you for sharing that story. There's so many pockets now of the smaller pockets have grown into these big kind of groups, and there's a lot of discussion. I know we've crossed paths a couple times on Clubhouse and a couple other different areas, and it's pretty neat to see. So now I want to jump into, you know, this year. This was an amazing year. It's amazing you actually wrote a book in a year where tech was just such. We need you, and kudos to you for living through that, because I know a lot of tech coaches that were just completely just hammered this year with, like you said, the push and the pull and everything. Let's unpack this year a little bit and where you are going, and what do you think people are going to need even further? So let's just go back to the beginning. Let's go back to March 2020, which I know way before this, you know, when you said smart boards, I'm like, oh my gosh, I remember those. And I remember all these different things. But it was an explosion of tech this year.
It was crazy.
Yeah. So what were some of the big takeaways from this year that you noticed in maybe your school or your educational community, whether on social media or across the states or even the world?
Well, I think that when March came, everybody talks about it being emergency remote teaching, and it really was crazy. As a tech coach, we were told to do one thing with our synchronous platform. That didn't work. We had issues. We had to do something else. I have never felt so needed in my entire life. And it's funny because in March, I did no writing because March was crazy. And so was April. Like, those 2 months were super crazy. By May, we kind of had gotten into more of a rhythm. But one of the things that was really wonderful is that I did a lot of, at that point, we were 100% remote. I did a lot of open office hours, and I was really struck by how people would come and ask for help. Like, there's so much time when you're a tech coach where you're like, I have this great idea. And people are like, well, I don't have time right now. And they'll back off. But people were asking for help. People were looking for ideas. I could say to people, I'd love to show you how to use this tool. And Pear Deck was a huge thing in our school this past year. And I could come in and show them, and they'd be like, oh, that's really cool. Can you help me in and put that in? And so, you know, at the very beginning, school wasn't, you know, in our district, school wasn't the same as it ended up being. I mean, it was much more, you know, you were only online for a certain amount of hours and this and that. But, you know, it was a good period of growth, but it also showed us that there was a lot of work to be done. And I am really lucky that last August, my principal let us do 2 weeks of PD. I'm super proud of it. We took the data that we had from our end of the year survey and we planned PD to show what the staff needed. And it's one of my favorite things to talk about when it comes to my staff. And we had Google, you know, slides, basic and advanced Google slides. And we did things with, you know, we used Blackboard Collaborate Ultra this past year and we did stuff with that. And we did stuff with HyperDocs and using programs like Wixi and Google Classroom. And we had them all differentiated and it was awesome. We did 2 weeks of it. And sometimes even some of the teachers would do some. Well, not only did teachers show up and they were not on contract, but our instructional assistants showed up. And if I had realized, you know, 10 years ago as someone who did PD that instructional assistants were as valuable as they were, I would have incorporated them early in my tech coaching career. They were such a phenomenal addition to the support for our students. And so teachers, we started off from August until February, virtual, 4 days a week, and then one day that it was asynchronous. And the teachers just really rose to the challenge. I was so impressed. Like I said, Pear Deck was such a huge thing. I love to see how my kindergarten teachers really embraced trying new things. They created things with Pear Deck that I would have never thought of. And my first grade teachers really embraced slides, and it was just so fun. And then in February, they told us we were going hybrid. And my role changed again. And I ended up being the person who was helping the people connect the external monitors and the cameras and making sure that all the stuff worked. And, you know, we have 1,000 kids in my school. So we have a tech support person, but there's just so many needs. And so, you know, that was a kind of an interesting time because here we had done all this creative stuff at the beginning of the year and then people were just trying to survive. And so, you know, now we have, I would say about 2/3 of our students, maybe more in the building at this point. We are doing that concurrent teaching, which, you know, is, I think, difficult. But, you know, we have at the point of recording, 3 more days left of school this year with students. They've survived. Our teachers have all survived. I definitely feel like it has been an exercise in true dedication. I only teach a few classes of STEAM as part of my job. And I just give my teachers so much credit because it is very challenging to teach 2 groups of students at the same time. But they've really, you know, they've worked really hard and I'm really proud of them. And I just hope that as we go to next year, that we'll really be able to take those lessons learned and really have a meaningful approach to how we approach technology integration, especially since our elementary schools will all be 1-to-1 next year.
So kudos to your staff and so many teachers and educators out there. I remember at the end of, so our year has ended, and at the end of the year, I looked at my other colleague and we were just like, what just happened? So I totally get that with educators and such, but let's talk a little bit about moving forward. Now, I think there's so much questioning and what we can do now, and especially with technology, but you're working with schools as well, not just your own. You're branching out, you're helping and speaking with people. Mm-hmm. What are some of the topics and the things that people are starting to talk about as, okay, post-pandemic, or maybe we're still hybrid a little bit, but then we go into more, I hate to say back, but we move forward. What are some of the topics that you're talking about and how to initiate what we learned?
I feel like when I do my presenting and the things I've been talking about are really meaningful ways to do to that technology integration. I talk a lot about using thinking routines with technology and how they can amplify instruction, about empowering student voice. I also talk about creation with our littles because those are so important. And what I really want teachers to understand, and part of it is we ended up being 1-to-1 without any real background knowledge in what blended learning truly is. And I think there's a lot of misconceptions about blended learning. I think that the teachers are going to need to make sure, and schools are going to need to make sure that there is a clear understanding of what blended learning is and what it isn't. And, you know, when we went into the buildings, I saw things like, oh, well, we can't use computers. We're face to face. And I want to make sure that we don't go either way in the continuum. We were using computers for everything, but we don't want to use, you know, paper for everything either. You know, if we're giving students an assignment or a task to do on the computer that they could do on paper just the same, then the computer is not a good option. But there are so many things that we can do with the computers that they can't do without the technology. And so those are the types of things I've really been focusing on as I've been speaking. You know, things like if they're using, we're talking about thinking routines. Well, if we're using certain programs, like for example, Padlet, then all the students can share their thinking and then every student feels like their thinking is validated. You know, and so things like that are super important for us to really, you know, think about those opportunities and make sure. And like in my book, I talk about 10 tools that I feel like really do those things. I don't want to have it just be a substitution. When someone goes, oh, I have this PDF, I want you to do help me let the kids write on it. Well, what's the purpose of that? Is the purpose so you don't have paper? Or are we going to be using it because we're going to be adding links to it? So it's those types of discussions that I think are going to be super important. And I know that teachers are overwhelmed right now. And, you know, and I totally get that because it's been an overwhelming year. But I really think and hope the teachers rest this summer and they really come and they take some time to reflect, because there's things we've done that have been amazing. And then there's some things that we've done because we had to, but we can do them differently. Really, that technology should give us that option to personalize the learning and give kids individualized learning paths. But the small group instruction with the teacher is really what's the most important part. And so, you know, thinking about if we're learning instruction, well, is a video the best way for you to learn? If it is, using something like Edpuzzle allows you to see what you know and you don't know and gives the teacher formative data. That's really important. If everyone's watching the video at the same time, it doesn't meet everybody's needs. And so it's small little things like that that are super important. And especially with our younger learners, making sure they had a lot of handholding from parents this past year. We really need to get them to be more independent, give them agency, but we also want to make sure that that technology allows them to have that connection and that SEL. So there's just so many things that are going to be integral as we make these transitions. And then on top of it, my school system has a new LMS next year, which I'm hoping to be able to embed some of that in. And so it's just, I think that it's going to be, there's going to be that feeling we're just going to go back to the way it was. And I think we're missing a huge opportunity if we do that, because the way it was okay, but we can do things better. And, you know, I watched the, you know, we had state testing here, even though it didn't, you know, officially count. Well, I want the kids to be able to have that joy for learning and not necessarily that feeling that they need to prep for the test. If they are really truly enjoying learning, they're going to be prepared. But we want to make sure they have those skills, you know, the collaboration, communication, critical thinking skills. We want them to have those things because they can Google anything right now. And a lot of our curriculum is Googleable. So we really want to make sure we're focusing on the right things. Yeah. And, you know, I hope that in the future that if we continue with testing, that the testing will really focus on those things versus things that are straight memorization.
Yeah. I really like the yes and approach. I mean, that's what I'm hearing. It is. And I think there's a lot of educators who, I think when they say go back, I think they, in my experience of the people that I know, they just really want the students in-house with them, right? Like right. Just to, mm-hmm. to have those relationships. But the and comes in, and the yes and, I shouldn't even say but there, but and you have now all these interesting tools to differentiate and do all these yeah. these interesting things. And the teachers, yeah, they do have decisions to make. But let's talk a little bit about administrators, right, and school leaders. There's a lot of decisions. It's not going to be an easy summer for them.
No, it is not.
And so I wanted to kind of pick your brain a little bit there. If you have a few administrators that are listening, maybe what's one or two things that is a good question that they need to ask around moving forward for the next year to get to that yes and that you're describing and that you're helping people do?
I really think that administrators need to look at what technology they have in, they already have in house, and how it was being used. Was it being used in a way that really helped their students and gave them those opportunities? Or was it simply there as something for kids to do during that asynchronous work time? Was it allowing them to create, or was it just part of that consumption? You know, I think that that's really important. And I love how we've been able to use so many tools to allow kids to create. And I've seen an increase in things like passion projects and genius hours and things like that. But I think we just really need to, as we're planning for next year, we need to make sure that we're intentional. And like, we've done some of that at my school. We went through and looked at the tech programs we had bought, and we asked teachers the impact, you know, so then teachers were really honest with us. They were with things like Pear Deck, like almost every teacher in my school's using it. It's become part of our school culture. So it's no longer an and, it's just part of the culture. People were afraid of it, but now people see the value in it. So like something like that is, but then there were other things. We had so many asynchronous math programs that none of them were being used because it was too much. So we had to then make those decisions. Well, the district pays for this one and we were paying for that one. Which one, what are we going to do? Well, obviously we're not going to pay for the one that we were paying for if the district's paying for one. And really being intentional with that. And like, we decided to pay for Padlet this year. Well, some of our teachers used it, but overall it was not as widely used as something like Pear Deck. And so we have to make those decisions because there's not unlimited funds. And there might be another program that could have a more, even more of an effect on kids. And it's, you know, the technology is just that tool to amplify the learning. And, you know, a lot of times I felt like when we first started this, tools were kind of being thrown at teachers. And they're like, this is going to make your life easier. We're giving you this to help you. But it was almost an overload. You know, think about in March when every tool on earth was free.
Yeah.
And teachers were so overwhelmed.
Right.
It was cool in a lot of ways, but it was almost like you were walking around and all these lights are flashing at you.
I think of that as, and I do remember that, and it was so gracious that you know, companies were trying to help. But I felt the way I described it was, all right, I needed a Band-Aid and I got 50 of them to put on, you know,
yeah.
And it was just like,
all right.
Only like a couple actually really worked to stop the bleeding. The rest are just
right.
Kind of, you know.
Absolutely.
So yeah, that's so I can imagine, you know, going into these October pieces that you're working at, you're helping schools understand and maybe reflect and then move forward. Is that so? Yeah. In what ways, you know, if somebody wants to come to you and say, okay, we need Debbie here to help us do what are those things?
Well, I really think that there's just, it's really important to really understand what you're trying to do, you know, instructionally, and then look at if there's ways that the technology can enhance it. And it's so that you really have to be purposeful with that. One of the things that I loved when I was working with my teachers at my school pre-pandemic is I would go and work with them on a lesson and we would be like, okay, we're going to try this tool to see the impact. And for an example, you know, one of my school counselors, she was teaching kids about coping strategies. Well, she could have just had, and at that point they were all virtual. She could have just said to them, we're just going to go in breakout groups and have discussions. Instead, she used Flashcard Factory, put them in pairs. One kid was drawing a coping strategy. The other kid was identifying the feeling. They were having discussions about it. And then it was really a meaningful experience. Well, they couldn't have done that without that tool. And really understanding ways that we can do meaningful integration. That's why I think it's so important as part of the planning process that you have someone, you know, a tech coach, someone like me to be there to kind of say, okay, here's a place where you could add this in to make things, you know, to take it to the next level, but not just for everything. I think that the big, you know, I don't know about what it was like with you, where you are, but I saw Google Slides and Bitmoji Classrooms went a little overboard this year.
100%. Yes.
And I was so glad to see teachers using Google Slides. Awesome. And understanding how to use Google Slides, but there's so many more ways to use Google Slides. And understanding, yes, if you know how to use a tech tool, there's about probably 10 other ways you could use that tech tool for something else. Don't try to become an expert in all tools. That's why in my book, I specifically talk about 10, find tools that you can use that are versatile, that are really going to support what your learning community needs, and become an expert in those. Because if you try to use every tool in the market, you're not going to make that impact. The kids, you know, you want your kids to build independence with those tools. So then if you're like, oh, well, you know, I'm giving you a choice of this, this, or that, they know how to use those tools, regardless of what age they are. And so it's just really important that intention is so important. I know that one of the other things I've been doing is just doing some tech coaching with teachers, where we kind of just take a lesson, we reconstruct it, we talk about if there's a way the technology could be integrated in, but it's really small, manageable steps. This is not a renovation. These are small tweaks to make an impact, because you don't want to add more to the plate. We want to look at the plate and just make the plate, I guess, healthier, you know, that same idea, you know. And I talk a lot about the idea that, you know, there's all this technology in our classrooms, and so in a lot of ways, it's like having a treadmill at your house. Well, if you don't know how to use the treadmill effectively, it collects clothes. If you don't know how to use the computers effectively, they collect dust. So we really want to make sure we're using it in a meaningful way. Having computers does not mean kids are using them 8 hours a day. It means they have access to them, just like we as adults have access to computers when we need them for our learning and for our use. So I think that there's just going to have to be a shift in the way we look at things and really be intentional in the future.
I think, yeah, and that intentionality with just 10, it's such a relief. I think a lot of educators are really just like, oh my gosh, we just did that, like I said before. But it's super refreshing hearing you say, all right, well, let's not keep adding to the plate. Let's just look at our plate. And that's wonderful. I want to give you an opportunity to, how can our listeners or educators get a hold of you, link up with you, and obviously get to the book, Transform Techie Notes to Make Learning Sticky. I love that title.
Thank you. So, I'm really proud of it.
But that is, I know that's on Amazon, but tell us a little bit about different ways that people can connect with you and possibly discuss some more of the things that you do.
Sure. So I'm pretty much Tannenbaum Tech everywhere. My website is tannenbaumtech.com. I am on Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, Clubhouse. I think that's it. And then I'm also on Facebook, Debbie L. Tannenbaum. That's the only one where I'm not Tannenbaum Tech. But please feel free to connect with me. I love working with educators. I'm going to be, you know, virtually jetting around the place this summer, doing some presentations. I love sharing with educators. But if you're interested, I do an email newsletter. I send it out weekly. There's always goodies in my newsletters that my blog doesn't just have. So, but I've just been loving this process. And in early 2022, I'm a contributing author to my second book, where I wrote all about engagement, which was super interesting, because talk about another word that people don't know the meaning of, engagement.
Right. That's amazing. Wow. There was a curveball right at the end of the second book's coming. That's fantastic. And congratulations on that. Thank you so much for hanging out with us on Disrupt Education, Debbie. Like I said before, it's really refreshing to hear somebody with your technology background to understand that let's not get overwhelmed here. Let's just take what we have and move forward. And it's a privilege and pleasure to have you on the show. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
All right, listeners, thank you all for listening. Thank you all for just hanging out with us today. Make sure you head over to disrupteducation.co. I will have Debbie's information up in the notes. Please connect with her. She's an amazing individual, and we'll talk to you next time on Disrupt Education.